every one of your children. We're glad. We're interested in you. We're interested in every one of you. Because if you do not know the Lord, and salvation is for everyone, it's not for any particular class, like the rich or the social world, or for any one individual, it's for sinners. If you're a sinner, salvation is meant for you. And bless the Lord when he opens your heart and shows you that you're a sinner. He's picked you out. But I want to talk to you tonight. Again, I brought a subject along this line, but not in a particular sense I'm going to bring it tonight. One time we talk about the blessed man whose sins are not imputed unto him. But I'm going to talk about the blessed man tonight. And the scripture says he's blessed. Psalms tells us that he's blessed. The individual that's blessed, that can approach God, who has access unto the throne of God's grace. And oh, what a particular individual that individual is. One who has access to the throne of God's grace, who could come in and out. If you turn with me to the 65th Psalm, we'll get our text right there. 65th Psalm. We're not going to keep you too long tonight. But let us put ourselves into the service, into the message, because I think the Sunday night message is just as important as the day messages. I don't see any difference. Blessed is the man, in that fourth verse of the 65th chapter of the 65th Psalm, blessed is the man, now you listen, whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Well, I tell you, let's begin with that first verse. Praise waited for thee, O God. Now you follow me in the scriptures. In Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou who hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevailed against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Now you get hold of that now. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. But blessed, happy is the man that thou choosest to what? And causes to approach thee. Now, when we talk about that word choose, that's a precious word to me. Didn't mean a whole lot before God saved me. We took it just on the run, chosen. But I praise the Lord that salvation is God choosing a sinner and bringing him into the banquet hall, giving that sinner access to everything in the house, in his house. It's just like when a motherless father mother and father who never had any children, and their desire was to have a child, but through circumstances they could not, but they just wanted to have a child. that they can raise and rear and call their own. And so the time will come when the husband and the wife will go out and thinking about adopting a child. Let's go and adopt a child. Find us a child that we can love. One that we can share all of these things with. All of our possessions. And so they go about, and they're very choosy. They go about looking. And they'll visit the different institutions or homes where they have these foster children, orphan children. I know, because I was one time an orphan myself. And I used to wonder about how, when the people used to come to those places like that, they look around for a child that they can choose to be their own, to bring them home, and to adopt them into their family. And so that's what God does when He goes about seeking for a sinner. This begins in eternity, and in time, He goes about, the Holy Spirit goes about choosing those individuals out that God the Father has set His love upon and Christ Jesus had died for. Blessed is that man whom thou choosest, that causes thee, you cause them to approach you and to have access to everything. The child of God has access to everything that God has. Do you know that? You ever stop to think about that? How much, what do we possess as a child of the living God? What you and I, as God's people, possess as a heavenly child? Why, God's given us all things in Christ Jesus. Everything. He does not withhold one good thing from us, but gives us the best of everything. He's given us all of heaven. When He gave us Christ, we received all of that. Because everything we receive nothing in a part of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not be saved in a part of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not grow in grace and the knowledge of God in a part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. What a blessed man He tells us that we are. That he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Now, what does this all take in? When we talk about that verse, that fourth verse, it goes beyond all of that. And we have to consider election. The election of God. The effectual calling of God. Access, acceptance, and sonship. Thou that are greatly blessed are those that are chosen of God. Now, we're greatly blessed. Happy. Are you happy? You ever stop to enumerate what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, you that are saved? You ever stop to think about it? You should be a happy individual. There's no need for us to go around with long faces. A happy individual. Concerned, yes. Anxious, yes. But not with a long face. Not with a life that's full of drudgery. Paul gave us that example there this morning. It was one of going forth, one of joyfully setting forth, going forth, pressing on. He found joy in that. And we learn that from our Lord, who's the joy was set before Him. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. the joy of seeing many sons and daughters brought into the kingdom. But you know, blessed are those that are chosen of God, and this is in accordance to the good pleasure of His will. We cannot and will not come to God of ourselves. And you cannot. You cannot come to God yourself. Because if you did, then you would have to take the glory for it. You'd be a proud individual. Well, I came to God when I felt like coming. I came to Christ when I felt like coming. No, no, you didn't. You might have came to an experience. You might have came to some vision or some dream, but you've never come to Christ. We cannot and will not. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. So we cannot and will not come to God of ourselves. God the Holy Spirit does the drawing. God the Holy Spirit does the wooing. Wooing the sinner unto Christ. He makes us willing in the day of His power by subduing our unwillingness, giving us a will and a desire to come to Christ. And listen, God does not save any sinner against their will. Ye will not come to me that you might have life. So God has to begin first in your heart, in the sinner's heart, and subdue that individual's will and unwillingness. He has to make you a willing individual in the day of His power. And you become a living, a willing individual in the day of His power. All your will is subdued. You're broken. You are subdued by the power of God. And unless any sinner is subdued by the power of God, they'll never get saved. They'll never come to know the grace of God. They'll never come to know the love of God, the mercies of God, until that will is broken and subdued by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And there's no one left out of that. That has to do with every class of individuals, no matter how religious that individual may be, no matter how much learning that individual may have, no matter how many schools or seminaries or colleges that individual attended, they have a will that resists God's will. And God has to subdue that will and subdue that individual and all of that unwillingness and bring that sinner in submission at His feet. And you can't do that. God the Holy Spirit does it. Let me say one thing. When God saves a sinner, He gets all the glory. Brother, when He saved the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul could not give himself credit for one thing. All he was able to do is say, "Lord, what will you have me do? Lord." In other words, he's telling the Lord Jesus, "I bow unto thy will. I submit unto thee. Thou art Lord. Thou art God." And that's what makes salvation so real, so personal, so full of reality. Because our salvation begins with God. Now, a person who says, "I can come to God anytime I want to," he won't come to God. He'll come to an experience. He will not. And that salvation is a confused. That individual is a confused individual. He don't know where he's going. He don't know what to believe. But brother, when brothers and sisters, when the Lord got through with Paul, he knew whom he had believed in thee. He certainly did. And so is every sinner that ever comes to know Christ. We know whom we have believed. Because Christ was the center. Christ was the grace of God that came into our hearts. He makes us willing in the day of his power by subduing our unwillingness. Man will not come to Christ. Man is depraved. Man is wicked. Man by nature hates God. They don't want to have anything to do with him. God has to change that nature. God has to change that unwillingness. God has to implant a new nature in that individual, a new heart. That's right. It's just like the Ethiopians. He cannot change the color of his skin. Just like the leopard can't change their spots. It's just there. That's the way a sinner is. Only God can change it. One time you're a child of hell, and another time you're a child of God. Now who did that? God. The Holy Spirit working in our hearts, transforming our hearts and lives, making us a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know Christ? Or do you have just a religious profession, just a veneer, just enough to get by with? But will it get to the heaven? Will it give you a hope? Will it get you to heaven? Many people are going to hell on just a profession, and they do not know the possession. They do not know Christ in their hearts. They may be just as religious, just as attentive, giving, but that does not mean that an individual is saved. You're saved when you know Christ, when you come to him, when you trust him, when you rely upon his righteousness, and God the Holy Spirit imputes that righteousness unto you. And therefore, it becomes the righteousness of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of him. Nothing less, nothing plus. It's Christ. Removes our inability and transforms us from a child of Satan to a child of the living God. Oh, what grace. Just to know that my God lives, a living God. Our God lives. He lives. And we are brought near by the blood. We have access unto God. By what? By the blood. We are brought to God through the blood. We have access through the blood. We can approach God the Father through the blood. The blood of who? The blood of Christ. Plead the blood, sinner. Plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Plead his substitutionary death on the cross. Plead the sacrifice. God will accept that. That's right. Yes, we are brought near by the blood, as Ephesians 2:13 tells us. But now in Christ Jesus, listen this now. Listen this, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, or made nigh, or brought nigh, or drawn nigh by the blood of Christ. You're not drawn by religious duties. You're not drawn by experiences. You're not drawn by visions, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we were far off, but now we are drawn nigh by the blood of Christ. We need not be timid when we approach the throne of grace, for we have access with boldness and are no more strangers to grace. Once I was a stranger. Yes, far off. afar off, going farther and farther away from God, going down the pathway of sin that leads to hell. Once I was far off, but the Holy Spirit went after me. Election sought me out. Isn't that wonderful? Predestination. There came that time when God the Father said, now's the time. Go get him. Go get him. And I was down in Marrera. You know, Satan hates that. He hates that personal salvation. He hates that personal testimony. He hates that when you could go back and you can say what God has, when God has found you, where you were corrupt in your sins, in your depravity, in your lost condition, and he quickened you, he awakened you, he made you alive. And brought you nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was 20 years ago. And I've been rejoicing and rejoicing evermore and evermore, because Christ is the center of our hearts and lives. He's our life. He's our hope. He's my righteousness. He's everything. And one day I'm going to see him. I'm going to be like him. Praise the Lord. Yes, we were one time afar off, but now, but afar off by wicked works. But now the Holy Spirit works the peaceable fruit of righteousness in us. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Love, joy, peace, patience, understanding, long-suffering. Oh, the peaceable fruit. That which brings peace to the heart and the life. Oh, you might have said, oh, I wish I knew the peace of God. Well, come to Christ. I wish I was at peace with God. Come to Christ. Look to him. Trust in his redeeming blood. Trust in Emmanuel's blood. As one whom God has chosen, elected and called, we belong to the heavenly household. And as Romans 8:15 tells us, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are not servants, but a son. Isn't that wonderful? We're not servants, but a son, an heir of heaven. An heir. When that father and mother adopts that son, they take that little one into their home as if it was their very own. They adopt that child. That child becomes a part of that home. He becomes a son or a daughter of that home. And he's given the run of things. It all belongs to him. It belongs to them, but it belongs to him or her. And so the Heavenly Father, when he adopts us in the Lord Jesus Christ into his heavenly home, he opens up all of heaven for us. And that's the way heaven's going to be. And I imagine when we get there, by his grace, through his blood, he'll open heaven up and he says, there it is, my child. I've gone back. And while you were down there, and while the hounds of Satan, everybody were upon you, and the world was gnashing his teeth against you, and the enemy would come in like a flood, I was up here preparing a place for you. I was up here getting things ready for your homecoming. And then enter in that which we have prepared for you even before the foundation of the world, that God has ordained for you to enjoy as his child. What a wonder. What amazing grace. What a Lord. What a Christ. I wish every one of us in this house knew what I was talking about. I would there was set up rejoicing in your soul, praising and thanksgiving, knowing what Christ has done for you and I. Just think, if he would have left us alone, where we were going on our own merry way, dashing into hell, where thousands and millions are plunging in the day without God and without hope, dying a Christless life, going to a Christless grave, and every one of you and I are drawing nigh to that grave. But praise the Lord for the blessed hope. Yes, he gives us the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, my heavenly Father. Yes, I never did know that before. I never did know that. And just like that child who comes to that home, he begins to learn those words, mother and father. He never knew that before. Mother and father, you see. And so we learn to say, Abba, Father. That's when he adopts us into his family. The servant abided. Now, we are not servants, but a son. The servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. So you see, praise the Lord. He never does things halfway. He'll never undo things that he has already done. He will never take back his salvation that he's given you and I. That is eternal. That can never be changed. Everything in God's word here is yea and amen. In other words, it's done. It cannot be changed. It's fixed. When a sinner comes to Christ and believes upon him and trusts him, that's been fixed in God's eternal mind and heart, that he giveth life. He giveth eternal life to that individual, to that sinner, to you, if you come to Christ. That's fixed. That cannot be changed. I praise the Lord that the choice he makes is a permanent one. His gifts and his callings are without repentance. Praise the Lord. For he that is chosen of God shall dwell in his courts forever. Now that's something to shout about. I praise the Lord for that. How do we have access to God? Or on what basis do we approach him? Now, how do you approach God the Father? How do you? What are your pleading grounds? What are your praying grounds when you come to God the Father? Do you come like the religious professor over in Luke, the Pharisee, who says, "Well, you know, I've done great things. I give to the poor. I give my tithes and I live a good life and everything else." And he approaches the Lord upon those basis. It's just like Cain. Cain brought the fruit of the land. He presented that to the Lord, the works of his own hands. The Lord took no count of it. But Abel brought the sacrifice. You thinking? Now what are you bringing? How do you approach God the Father? That poor publican in the temple says, "Lord, God, be merciful unto me, the sinner." Now he was pleading mercies, the covenant. He was in the temple, and the sacrifice was being offered. And his eye, the mind of faith, the eye of faith, lay hold of that sacrifice as it was going forth as a sweet-smelling savor unto the Father. And that publican knew what that sacrifice meant. It meant the difference between him and that Pharisee. It meant the difference between acceptance or rejection, because God put his stamp of approval upon that sacrifice. And as he saw that sacrifice and the smoke rise up as a sweet-smelling savor unto the Father because of the obedience of the sacrifice as it was offered, that poor publican saw all of his sins upon that sacrifice, the shedding of blood, acceptable unto the Father. God, be merciful unto me, the sinner that I am, be merciful. The scripture tells us that publican went away justified. But the Pharisee didn't. He went out the same way he came in. He came in as a sinner, needing forgiveness, needing mercy. And God gave it to him. He went away justified. And sinner, let me tell you something. You come to Christ like that. You come to the Father and you plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll accept you. You'll go away justified. Come by faith, trusting the blood of the Son of God that was shed on Calvary's cross for you and I. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now how you have access unto the Father? By Christ. Romans 5:2 tells us, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And Ephesians 3:11-12, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Salvation, my friends, is Christ. God will not accept you on any other terms, any other basis. Christ, under any other name, Christ. Bring what you may. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, whose faith do you have? We approach him by faith. Salvation, you believe through grace by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We see him by faith. We bring the sacrifice by faith. We plead the blood by faith. We have access into this grace by faith, to the throne of God's grace. And that's the way we come. By faith. And that's the faith of God's elect. That's the faith of God. It's not my faith. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now you get that right. If you ever get saved, if you ever have faith, saving faith, it's God's faith. It's not yours. And that's the faith that's going to last. That's the faith that go through fires, go through trials, go through all tribulations. That's the faith that will endure unto the end. It's the faith of God's elect. Now, these people who have turned back and gone back to the world and going back to sin and everything else, they have no saving faith. They don't know what living faith is. They don't know what faith is to overcome the world, overcome the power of Satan, overcome sin, overcome every one of our doubts and our fears. It's faith that's within us, that's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's God's faith within the believer. We might be down and off one day, but the next day we'll get up and we'll go on. We might be harassed by Satan. Temptations may be numerous. We may fall, but we're not utterly cast down. We'll get up and go. Because there's a principle within every believer, and that principle is faith. That'll never die. It's instilled there by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit who indwells the born-again believer, who is sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, he cannot utterly fall. He'll never be cast away, because that which is within us was from eternity. It will be to eternity. Through eternity. It will last through eternity. Praise the Lord. When he saves a sinner, he does a good job. He saves him all over. There's nothing left out. When a sinner has Christ, he's got everything that God has ordained for that sinner to have. Because if you got Christ, you've got wisdom, you've got righteousness, you've got redemption, you have sanctification. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I sin, but I have an advocate with the Father. I've got an advocate and high priest with the Father who pleads for me. And I have access to that throne of grace that I can go and plead the mercies and the blood of the Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the Father. And the Father forgives me because his word tells me that. The word of God assures us what the blood has done. The blood has secured us, but the word of God assures us of what has taken place, the great transaction. Read the Bible. Meditate upon it. Study the scriptures and find out for yourself and see what rich morsels you'll draw from it. What confidence, what hope, what trust, what life. I praise the Lord for that. Now we're going to close. Christ was chosen of God, whom he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now God the Father, it was well pleased with his Son. Chosen of him. His elect are chosen in Christ. And as the Father's elective choice, we are blessed being accepted in the Beloved. What precious thoughts. How I can just rejoice. And just praise him. I'm accepted in the Beloved. We, his people, are accepted in Christ, the acceptable sacrifice. Praise God for his unspeakable gift. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And we read in Psalms 103:5, "Who satisfied thy mouth with good things?" He satisfies our mouth with good things. Our Lord is the bread of life. He's the water of life. He nourishes us. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Man is born with a spiritual soul, born with a living soul, an eternal soul. And unless that soul is fed, unless that life draws from the Word of God, from the bread of life, that soul will go out without any nourishing, without any hope, without any life, because it had not drawn life. You see how important it is to feed upon the Word of God and therefrom it draw life from it. Draw those things that we need, confidence, trust, faith, hope, from the Word of God. No wonder Satan hates this book. I don't blame him. But I praise the Lord that he's greater than Satan. He's more powerful. And that although this book has been tried and tested and has come down to us century after century, Satan has not as yet been able to destroy it. But there's coming a day, we don't know how much longer it'll be, when the Lord's going to come and take his own back to his home, back to glory. And then this world is turned over to the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will make it his business to burn every Bible, every religious literature, everything there is that has anything to do with the name of Christ, because he hates Christ. Because he knows that one day he's going to come under the sword of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is going to be the victor, but he's going to do the best he can to keep men blinded, to keep them from hearing the truth, to keep their ears stopped. But that's where the grace of God comes in. He may have a sinner blinded. He may have an ear stopped. He may have a conscience seared, but God, the Holy Spirit, will go through it all to get to his elect, who she may be. I praise the Lord that now I can say I was one of his elect. I am one of his elect. I didn't know that before God saved me. It wasn't until after God saved me that I came to find out that I was one of God's elect, that God chose me back in eternity, before the foundation of this world, that he would one day call me out by his grace. He predestinated that. The time and everything else. And when the exact time came, when God told the Holy Spirit to go after me, that was the exact time that he predestinated back in eternity, that he would call me. I'll never get over it. It's the most amazing thing as I stand here day by day, knowing what a failure I am, knowing how much I sin even now, knowing all my shortcomings, but to know the love of God in Christ, to know that he loves me, and that the Holy Spirit who indwells us will constantly deal with our hearts and break us away from the old habits and the old sins, and tear them from our bosoms, that righteousness will fulfill its place in our hearts and lives. Take all that malice and all that jealousy and hatred and everything out. What the grace of God is able to do. It changes a sinner from a child of Satan unto a child of the living God. For we are saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, not by works, but the Lord Jesus Christ, through him. Are you rejoicing tonight? Are you praising the Lord for that blood? Are you praising the Lord for Christ tonight? Huh? Do you find, I'm asking you in the closing questions, do you find fault with God's way of salvation? Do you find God's way hard? Do you find God's salvation hard? It's not a question of whether God's salvation is hard. It's a question, it is because you make it hard. A sinner does everything in the world trying to get God to save him, trying every which way to save themselves, trying every which way to believe, trying to go in here, go in there, go in this church, believe in this, believe in that, but they have left from coming off to the Lord, coming to God. Come to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, you need the Lord. The throne of grace is open to you to come. Now, who opened that way to the Father for us? Jesus did, through the new and living way, through his blood. So come, believing what he's done for you, trusting him for what he's done for you, resting your whole life, everything upon him for what he's done for you, casting yourself as a helpless sinner upon him, realizing what he's done for you as a sinner. Praise the Lord. Turn to him tonight. If you haven't turned to him today, may the Holy Spirit turn you. Oh, that was one of my prayers when God was dealing with my heart. Turn me, Lord. I shall be turned. I cannot turn myself, but turn thou me. Oh, that was the cry of Ephraim. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. And that's not done in a haughty manner. That's not done in a flippant manner. It's done in a tender way. Your heart has been softened. Your will has been broken. You have been subdued. And now, Lord, turn me. Turn me your way, and I shall be turned. And may the Lord do that tonight for you who do not know him. And I rejoice because of some that do know him. And that you can rejoice and understand many of the things that we've spoken about tonight. May God's richest blessings rest upon you. And may he deal with your heart. But may you cry unto him for salvation. Let's stand. Our Father, as we come to the end of this day, this has been thy day. We thank you for it. Thou hast given thyself much glory, and we praise thee for it. We want nothing but just to glorify thee. Lord Jesus, lay hold of sinners' hearts. Turn them by thy Spirit, and they shall be turned. O Father, thank thee for thy blessings, for thy unspeakable gift that you've given us, Christ, Christ, our life, our hope, our joy, our all and in all. Lead us and keep us. Bless this message wherever it goes. To thy name's honor and glory we pray and ask it. Amen.